morning sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
During this season of Lent, I have been preaching a sermon series on the seven words from the cross. Each week in the series, we have been focusing on one of these short but profoundly meaningful utterances that Jesus made during the crucifixion. The first three words in order are, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," a word of mercy which Jesus spoke towards his tormentors. "Today you will be with me in paradise," a word of promise to the thief next to Jesus on the cross. "And, woman, behold your son, behold your mother," words spoken by Jesus to his mother and to his disciple John, by which he commended his mother into John's care. You will note that in these first three words, Jesus directs his attention toward others and addresses our great human needs, the need for mercy, the need for hope, and the need for compassion and care. In the next three words, Jesus shows how he connects fully with our human condition, and he speaks of how he is accomplishing our salvation on the cross. In the fourth word, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus connects with our spiritual emptiness and lowliness, our feeling at times of abandonment, although this word also has special significance, and it will be our focus next Sunday. In the fifth word, "I thirst," Jesus connects with our physical weakness and our experience of pain. These words reveal the way in which Jesus has united himself fully with our human condition. He truly becomes one of us. Then in the sixth word, "It is finished," which also means all is paid. Jesus speaks of how his self-offering on the cross atones for our sin. Jesus thus bridges the gap between humanity and God and enables us now to be reconciled with God. This brings us to the final word on the cross, which we'll consider this morning, when Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Let us be in prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When Jesus entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, it was a glorious celebration. People were waving palm branches, acclaiming Jesus as King. You might think that Jesus would be basking in the attention and that he certainly would want to extend that nice experience. People were ready for a revolution. Why not bring one about? Jesus could have seized the initiative and vaulted himself into a position of power and glory on this earth. But he knew his actual mission and purpose. His destiny was not more adoring crowds, but crowds that would shout, "Crucify." For human beings generally, life is an exercise in trying to create the best possible immediate future for ourselves and to escape trouble. Our approach toward death is to try to stave it off for as long as possible and to pretend, as much as we can, that death is not really there. The coronavirus pandemic is shaking our illusions. It is profoundly disturbing to us, both because of the carnage that it is causing worldwide, and also because, on a deep level, it challenges our ruling assumption that we should be able to escape trouble and elude death. The pandemic is a steady reminder that death hovers near. Yet even when death strikes close, people still have ways of ignoring its reality. One of the popular trends in funerals today is to have a celebration of life that is not in a church or in any spiritual framework. For believers, a Christian funeral service is truly a celebration of life. The term is very appropriate because we celebrate not only the person's life here on earth, but the promise that this life is now taken up to be sharing with God forever. But for non-believers, the sort of celebration of life party that has become increasingly popular nowadays is most often a way of avoiding reality. The typical format, is to simply focus on happy memories, raise some toasts with good friends, and keep the mood upbeat, leaving unmentioned the reality that the loved one is now rotting in the ground, with all hope and meaning extinguished forever. We may try to run from death and ignore death, but sooner or later, death catches us, and if we are not rightly prepared, it will appear as a yawning and terrifying abyss. As Jesus heads into Jerusalem, he is not running from death. He is riding straight towards it. He faces death the way he approached all of life. He faces death by facing God. He entrusts himself into God's hands. When Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," he was actually quoting a psalm, Psalm 31, where those words are found in verse 5. When Jesus does this, he's not simply using a verse from the scripture. He is alluding to the entire psalm. We heard a good part of that psalm this morning. The psalm speaks from the perspective of one who is suffering great abuse and pain. "My eye washes away from grief," says the psalmist, "my soul and body also, for my life is spent with sorrow. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life." When Jesus quotes this psalm, he means to say that the broader psalm expresses his experience on the cross. Jesus' suffering on the cross, both his physical suffering and his emotional suffering, is a clear declaration that Jesus connects with us in all of our trouble and pain. When people look at the enormous suffering caused worldwide by the COVID-19 pandemic, or when they look at all sorts of other evils in the world, they sometimes wonder where Christ is. But you need only to look to the cross to see that Christ is here with us. But in Psalm 31, which Jesus is quoting, there is not only an expression of anguish from one who is suffering, but at the heart of the psalm, there is an expression of profound faith in the saving power of God. The psalm affirms, "In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. You are indeed my rock and my fortress." The psalm uses the image that we lifted up in the sermon last Sunday, that God is our fortress, the one in whom we find real security and strength. The verse that Jesus highlights connects directly with that theme. Jesus can say, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," because he is entrusting himself to the ultimate power of the universe. When we find ourselves in any time of trouble, Jesus is leading us to place ourselves into God's hands, trusting that we will be upheld in God's infinite love and strength and promise. This past week, I led a private funeral service, brief service, and a graveside service for Joe Coya, who for many years was a faithful member of this church. The family plans a much larger celebration of life in the future, a true celebration of the life that we have in God, held here in the sanctuary of the church. In a graveside service, when I am speaking a few words as we lay a person's earthly remains to rest, I use the traditional words out of our United Methodist ritual for the burial of the dead. I say, "For as much as the spirit of the departed hath returned to God who gave it, we therefore now commit his body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But his spirit we commend to God, remembering how Jesus said upon the cross, 'Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.'" When you are standing in a cemetery, it is a stark reminder of reality. We cannot simply ignore or run from death forever, but we find the answer to death in Jesus Christ. As we place our faith in Christ, we join in what he does for us on the cross. We are reconciled with God, and we are enabled then to face both life and death as Jesus did, putting our trust in God so we can live with confidence in God's mercy and God's saving power as we entrust ourselves into God's hands.
Let us pray.
O Lord, inspire us as we indeed would entrust ourselves to you, knowing that we are held securely and forever in your hands. We thank you, Lord, for how indeed you are here with us. You are here to strengthen and uphold us. You are here to inspire and guide us. You are here to lead us to grow and reach out as your people as we share in the purposes of your loving kingdom today. We do reach out to people who are in times of particular need. We remember those who are in times of illness, and we lift up especially this morning Regina Coya, Lois Enlow, Dave Kurtz, and Gretchen Laughlin. We also remember those who are mourning. We lift up especially the family and friends of Joe Coya, thanking you, Lord, for his witness and service in the life of this church and in his community, and trusting him into your hands, praying your comfort and assurance to be with his family. And we pray, Lord, for people around the world who are afflicted with the coronavirus. We pray for your healing and encouraging presence, and we pray for the healthcare workers who are in the forefront of responding. Lord, guide us as we know that you are here to lead us through each time of challenge. Move us as we indeed would put our trust in you and as we follow as you are guiding us today. We thank you, Lord, for how you indeed are leading us through this time to grow and reach out in new and creative ways. We thank you for how we can connect with one another, even virtually. We thank you for how we are yet connected beyond this congregation with other churches, and we do lift up our fellow United Methodists at the Grandview United Methodist Church in Cuyahoga Falls this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you continue to lead us to reach out into the whole world in this time when there are persons in parts of the world that are competing and fighting over scarce resources. Lord, inspire us with that biblical vision that we are all your children. Lead us as we would reach out with your compassion and your good news for all. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.